Jesus, in this moment, would you continue to speak into our hearts? Holy Spirit, would you continue to speak into the situations and the circumstances that we face, whether on a daily, whether on a weekly, monthly, minute by minute basis? God, we pray, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you minister to us? Would your grace and would your mercy abound? God, at the end of the day, all we want is you. And all we want is to connect and to have that revelation of you, of your goodness, of your love, of your mercy and your grace that transforms us. So God, we pray, would you, Holy Spirit, would you continue to minister as you've been doing? And God, I pray, as always, anything that's of me, may it be forgotten, might be blown away in the wind. But God, everything of you, may it resound in our hearts, may it transform us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, in every single way. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to be talking about patience. Everyone loves patience. When I felt that God was saying, okay, James, do patience. Have you ever felt that your whole situation and your whole world just requires more patience? And you're thinking, really? When you ask for patience and that famous prayer, God, give me patience and I want it now. That we all speak and that happens. I find that actually when you ask God for more patience, you just end up getting more frustrated and annoyed sometimes. Because sometimes, as always, we want things instantly. We want things tangible now. We don't have to work through all the process. And in some ways, it will just be good to have almost like an instant download where you press a button and it downloads. That's me done. But I wonder, what gets you impatient? Is it when someone overtakes you and you're doing a good speed, but then someone overtakes you, but you pull over, and then they pull over in front of you, then slow right down? Is it when you're trying to speak to whoever you're trying to get through to the doctors, number 45 or something in the queue, and you're having to listen to the doctor's music, or they put you on hold for over 5 minutes, and you're thinking, this is 5 minutes that I'm not getting back in my life? Is it when someone in your house, and this is not a thing, by the way, but when someone in your household buys a new bit of toothpaste, and instead of pushing down from the top, they just grab the middle? Is it when you've been waiting your whole week just to sit down and watch a film or part of a TV program, and it's almost like you timing to sit down, and someone phones you and they're not getting the hint that you're trying to watch something, or you go into the cinema and a few people in front of you, they talk the whole way through? I don't know. What gets you impatient? What takes you almost from 0 to 100% anger in less than a second sometimes? I wonder. Because we all have it, don't we? We all have moments where we think we're doing okay, and then those moments where we realise, I haven't got the strength for patience. I haven't got the patience for patience. And it comes to all of us in various situations and circumstances. And so this morning we're just going to read a few chapters and verses, and we're just going to chat about and just go from there. And so If you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to start in. We're going to be jumping around a little bit, but they're going to be up on the screen. We're going to be starting Galatians, as well as Galatians 5, 16 to 26. Galatians 5, 16 to 26, 16 to 26 this, says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." Have noticed it says a few times it mentions the law. Patience is one of those things which, no matter how many laws you follow, laws can't give you patience. You can try, but laws won't instantly give you patience. It's when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about something that's part of the character of God. And so when we talk about gifts and fruit, that we know first and foremost, God is God. And we also then say, we also use the where it says that God is love, and we know that everything he does through that filter of love, whether it's justice, whether it's mercy, compassion, forgiveness, whether it's justice or wrath, everything that he does goes through the filter of his goodness and love. And part of these, because that is who he is, and we know, and I definitely know, that I don't have all these things in myself. I know we don't have all these in ourselves. But this is where God's mercy and grace is awesome, because although we have a small amount, and we can try it, and we try to do it by laws, and we try to work things out, we don't have the fullness to do that. But God, in his mercy and his grace, through the Spirit, imputes into us, works through our lives, and he gives us his characteristics: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, or meekness, as the pendulum, or translation got, self-control. All of these are found in the character of God. And he transforms us bit by bit into his son Jesus. And so when we talk about patience, it's a characteristic of God. And we know in our heads that God is patient, just we only have to examine our own lives, how we act, how humanity has acted over the years. And sometimes we read the Bible, and sometimes we have a holier-than-thou attitude, because we read the Bible and think, oh no, we wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't have denied Jesus, we wouldn't have done this, we wouldn't have disobeyed God. And we read this through this filter, thinking, actually, we're better than the people who have gone past, but they were fallen and they were human just like you and me. And sometimes we can read things where it might say the wrath of God came and destruction came. But sometimes when we read the Bible, take for example Noah and the flood. On one page, everything's going well, and next thing, there's a flood happening. But what you don't realise and what you don't see, although it says it, you don't realise there's a 400-year gap there. You don't realise that it took Noah 125 years to build the boat. And all that time, God is being patient with his people, saying, look, there's still time to change. There's still time to change. The fact that Jesus hasn't come back yet, and we're waiting for Jesus to come back yet, the fact that Jesus hasn't come back yet is a display of his patience with humanity, because he's wanting as many people in his kingdom and as part of his family as possible. I sometimes think, if I was God, I would have been, you know, if you read the Bible, you get to some points of thought, God, I would have just come back then, I would have been done with it. Just get over. But the fact that if you see the patience that God has with his people when they're walking through all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament, time and time again, you see the patience of God with humanity. Yes, he brings correction, but there's patience, there's love, there's faithfulness, there's his promises flow through all of it, and he gives that to us to then flow through our character and into the people around us. Does that make sense? And so when we talk about patience, it's God giving himself to us, saying, look, this is a characteristic that I have that you can do. And the way you can do it is because you rely on him. And you rely on him to get you through. The Greek and the Hebrew, when they talk about patience, it's quite funny and quite weird because it's about, when they talk about patience, it means basically a long nose. Someone who is patient has a long nose. And the idea of that is that when someone rages, you know, when the face goes red and they're about to burst, steam's coming out the ears and everything, it's about the nose goes red first, and the person who's got the most patience has a long nose. The idea of the redness takes ages to get to the face. Does that make sense? And it's also, you have this expression of, so when it talks about patience in the Old Testament, you have this imagery of someone with a long nose, and gradually it's getting red, but it takes time. And so someone who, you know, you're in a situation and you say something and they instantly explode, it means basically they've got a really short nose. There's nothing there almost. And it's really funny, isn't it? How they had that. It also means, when looking at the Greek and things like that, it also means to carry a heavy burden for a long time. It means of the heart, of the soul, to have a long soul, to be able to carry something for a long time. It means to be able to take a deep breath, not just in, but out. And to pause and able to step back. And you have this imagery of people who are patient. The idea of patience is being able to breathe. Don't explode. Don't react in the heat of the moment. Try and gain all the perspectives. As much as we like to think that we're right, and go from there. Sometimes, have you ever heard the joke, I would agree with you, then both of us would be wrong? It's that same thing. We all want to be right. And it's stepping that back and saying, okay, I'm not going to explode. I'm taking a different perspective of why this person can't do what I've asked them to do. Am I communicating wrong? Do I need to, instead of just telling them what to do, do I actually need to go and show them, help them, get alongside them? I need to be patient. I need to show them what to do bit by bit, instead of just saying, just go do this. Are you stupid? How many of you have had that said to you? When they haven't been bothered to show you what to do, it might be your first day at work. No one showed you what to do. They just assume you've got the same information as them, and they say, expect you to do it, but because they haven't sat down with you, they haven't showed you, they haven't explained to you, this goes there, that goes there. Once you know it, it makes sense, doesn't it? But sometimes people need different things. Some people react differently. Some people you can tell something once to, and they've got it. If you're like me, you need it written down, you need diagrams, you need five times, because I walk out of that door and gone. Totally forgotten. And sometimes everyone needs patience in different ways. James 1, 2 to 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," or patience. It's the same side of different sides of the same coin. "And when the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith," Romans 5, 1 to 5, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance," patience as well, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Have you noticed in Romans 5 it says, "since we have," and Galatians in verse 25 it says, "since." Some translations have "if." And the problem with "if" means may not. And the reason why some of the translations have different words, because they're connecting words, and so they could mean either. But "since" is a stronger translation, because it means since this has happened, it will happen because it has happened. And so, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, it's not "has Jesus justified us by faith?" Possibly, maybe. We know it has happened when we believe in him. We know, therefore, it will happen. And so when we call on God for help, whether it's patience and things like this, we know that the Holy Spirit will work in our lives, because that's what one of the promises that God has done and said that will happen. And so when we go for all these, you have this, James talks about, can count it all joy, and Romans says rejoice, or some translations say boasting. That's not natural reactions to suffering. I don't know about you, but I really love a good suffering. You know, a good trial, come on, bring it on. I really, really want it. You know, give me that for my birthday, for Christmas, Easter, you name it. Just give me all the trials. No, nobody says that. Nobody says, "No, the best thing you can do for me, God, is give me the hardest trial possible." That's a dangerous prayer. No one does that. Why? Because we don't like going through that. But why does James and Paul say these things? It's because it's that the gift of suffering isn't the suffering itself. Let's lose this analogy. You have Exodus 33. You have Moses, and he's speaking to God, and God says, "I will reveal my glory to you," and he hides him in the cave, in the cliff face. Yes, and the glory of God. But he says to Moses, "I will pass by you, but you can't see my face, because anyone who sees my face dies. But as I pass by, I'll lift my hand, and you can see the back of me." In that same cave, in 1 Kings 19, Elijah is in the same cave, and the wind is there, the earthquake is there, and the fire is there. And most of you will heard the preachers going, "And the wind came, and it shook," and they're trying to talk about the volume. But it's not about volume, it's about proximity. Does that make sense? And so you have Moses, he gets the name and identity of God and the closeness of God, there, and the hand of God is on him. Proximity. Elijah is in the same cave. The wind's going past. Fire, earth shaking. The translation doesn't say that, it just says after. And so when there's wind, when there's shaking, it doesn't necessarily mean that the earthquaking, the ground hasn't stopped, then the wind came. It could be, you can translate it as the wind, the wind's blowing, the ground is shaking, all of it is there, but yet God is not in that because he's in the whisper. If you have a hurricane wind going past you, if the ground is shaking ferociously, and I don't know about you, I've never been in an earthquake, I've never experienced that. Been in a few gales, and you can hardly hear anything apart from the gales, let alone an earthquake, fire, and all of that. He says that he heard the whisper. How close do you have to be to someone in order to hear a whisper in that situation? And so what he's saying, amongst all the trials of the earthquake, amongst all the trials of the hurricane that is going past, amongst all the heartache that we're going through, it is that God is so close to us as we go through those trials that we can hear a whisper from him. It's not about the loudness of the external. It's about how close is God to us at every single point of every single moment of every single day. And I know through the trial, through some of the darkest times of my life, I know through growing up and being bullied in school, the last 3 years of my high school, my nickname was Thief because they thought I stole someone, and someone spread a rumour around the whole school. And so my nickname in high school was Thief for 3 years. So when you walk down the corridor, it'll be, "Hi, Thief." When someone called your register every single day, you'd hear across the other side of the room, "Thief." And that was 3 years. That was kind of 3 years. Everything, all friends dispersed. I remember, I've said this before, when Poppy was being born, it got to midnight and I heard a voice come into the delivery room saying, "I'm coming for them and I'm taking them both." I remember going through pains and sicknesses, and I remember I thought it was meningitis, but it turned out to be viral meningitis, and it was horrific. And do you know when sometimes you're ill, and when someone asks you how you are, it's almost like it gets to the point where you feel sorry for the other person for asking. It's almost like a constant list, and it gets. And sometimes with your health, and you know when you're just in pain. And it just won't go away. And so when people say, "How are you doing?" You're just like, "Well, do I just..." You end up just saying, "I'm fine." Because even though if you just say, "Oh, I'm in pain, this is hurting." Yeah, you know, even though the other person has asked, they don't really care. Do you? You see, 99% of the time when someone says, "How are you?" Unless I'm being a little bit cynical, I apologize. 90% of the time, it's that conversation filler. How are you doing? Because they wanted to get on to the next part of the conversation. And so when you start to say, "Well, I'm this and this," you can start to see the glazed eyes over people. And you're thinking, okay. But in those darkest moments of my life, I may not have heard his voice all the time. I may not have seen him all the time. I might not have felt him all the time, but I know in my darkest moments that Jesus works. I know that the gospel is true. In all of that, I know that he's been faithful. I know when I've been throwing a hissy fit and throwing a paddy that he's been patient, and when I've had my moan, he's gone, "Really? Okay." And he's been patient. He's been kind. Yes, I've gone through some traumas, and I've gone through some stuff, but I might have some battle scars, but I'm still standing. And I think we can all say that. Why? Because behind the scenes, God is with us. And it's an important thing to realize, because I don't think God causes as much suffering as people put on him. God gets the blame for everything. When actually some of the stuff that you've gone through and some traumatic stuff that we've gone through and you've gone through and I've gone through is not because of God's fault, it's because other people chose to use their free will in a way that has caused harm. That's not God's fault. In the same way we choose to be nice or to be short with people or to be kind with people sometimes or rude to people. And we have choices. We all have choices in life and how we interact with one another, and that can cause hurt and pain. Sometimes it's sickness. And there's a difference between God causing suffering and God using suffering. And so sometimes people turn around and say, you know, God uses everything for good. And he's like, that's really not helpful in this situation. Don't stick that on a card unless you want to sit down for 10, 15 minutes to people and try and explain it. Don't stick that in as someone's going through trials, don't say that as a slogan when actually the pain and the hurt is real. We know that God will work everything out for good in the end, but it's not the end because he hasn't come back yet. And so if it's not okay, then that's okay because it's not the end. And it's a really important point to know, because God is outside of time. And so God can be at the beginning and at the end and in the middle in every single point of time all at once, because he's outside of time. And so he knows, for example, when I was born, and he can see something. Okay, James, that something happened in James's life then. And he can stretch Noah, and he can see all the decisions that I make, and he can see my whole life, where forwards, backwards, up and down, and he can move around it, and he can hold it, and he can see all of it, and he can do that with humanity. And he can say, I know what's going to happen to James when he's 85 or something, but I can use something that happens to him when he was 5 or 6 to shape his character in able to enable him to deal with what's going to happen then. But he also knows actually what happens when that person was 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 15, 20. He knows what's going to happen, and he knows that the enemy or someone has meant that for bad in your life, to cause destruction, to cause hurt, to cause pain. But he can say, I know that's going to happen, but if we allow him to work through the hurt and through the pain, he can transform what was hurting and bad and not diminish the pain and say, yes, that pain is real. What you're going through is bad. What the trauma that there's got is real, not diminishing it. But he can work through that if we allow him to transform our lives. So when we get to a situation where it's similar or different and we can help people at a later date, we can use that trauma for good at a later date. But it's hard when you're going through the trauma. And so sometimes we say, why did that happen, God? Why did that happen? And a lot of the time, we will never know the answer. We won't know the answer until it's the end, until we breathe our last breath and we meet Jesus face to face. A lot of the time we say, why? This is happening. God's just saying, would you trust him? Would you allow him to work through? And so when we talk about patience in trials, it's the fact that God is present in our trials. And we know that at every single moment of every single day, the Holy Spirit is working in our lives to transform our lives to be like Jesus. So if we say, okay, God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why people are doing this stuff. I don't understand, but God, I'm going to place this into your hands. And I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to grieve. There's going to be pain. It might feel like I'm constantly bleeding and bandages go back on and it gets ripped off again. But I'm going to allow you to work through that because I don't want my character to be bitter, to be angry, to be selfish, irritable, argumentative, frustrated, full of regret. Because if we don't work on our part of the patience aspect, is actually, it's about character. If you don't wait on your, if you don't work on your character and developing the patience and having patience and God to flow through your life and my life with this, it means that we end up bitter, resenting the world, resenting people. Why are they doing that? I could have done that better. If I had that opportunity, I would have done that. They spoke to me in that tone of voice. Around the dinner table, someone says something and someone explodes and it ends up in a family argument and someone walks out and family members don't speak to each other for years after that. It's important how, as we journey through life, it's hard, it's tough. We don't have the strength to do it by ourselves. But the Holy Spirit allowing you to work inside you can transform those moments of heartache and pain, frustration and grief into moments of joy, strengthening faith, strengthening your trust in God, strengthening your hope, because that patience goes, I don't understand what I'm going through in this moment in time, but I know God is working, and I know that I believe in God. I know that he died and rose again for me. So even if I don't get the answers right now, even if I go through the heartache and the pain, my hope is, even if I'm suffering in this life, my hope is when I breathe my last breath, there will be no tears, no more pain, no more suffering. And so it can be well with my soul that I'm going through. I don't understand why I'm going through all this traumatic experience, but I know that my hope is that when I breathe my last breath, my hope is that actually for eternity. Because that's what the world is wanting you to focus on. It's wanting you to focus on the here and the now. Can you get it quick? Can it be fast? It needs to be instantly. And we've created that culture. We get impatient. Do you remember when you the VHSs from Blockbuster, and you got a film, and someone you had it, and someone hadn't wound it back, and so you had to push it in, and you had to turn off the TV and spend 5 minutes rewinding it, and all that stuff. Lost my train of thought there. How many times that happens? But it's this moment of character and allowing him to work through our lives, develop character. And it's that gift that God gives to us that whatever we face, whatever trials, we don't have the strength, but he does. And if you focus on the hurt and if you focus on the pain, you lose sight of the promises. But if you focus on the promise, you'll find hope. Because our hope is not that we just live for however long God gives us on this earth, but actually we are created for eternity. And that should be our mindset, not the now, but our mindset should be of a mindset of eternity. If we were to put a rope across the front of the church and illustrate, you know, our point of life among that, it'll probably be thinner than an atom. Our lifespan on the timeline of humanity is so small and thin. It's almost like a breath in the grand scale of things. And sometimes we have to say, God, I know I'm thinking about me, but I know on the grand scheme of things, you are both at the beginning and both at the end. You see all things. You work through all things. Some things that I've prayed for, and 5 minutes later, there's been an answer to the prayer. God must have been working on those answers to prayers for weeks and months behind the scenes before I've even realized. If you think about it and work, and think about some of the prayers that you've prayed and asked for, how they've come about almost instantly. Some may be a little bit longer, but God must have been working behind going, I know what they're going to pray, I'm going to work something out. God knows all of our needs and all of our desires and all of our wants, and he'll meet them. Because we can hold on to that promise of he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. You're not abandoned, you're not an orphan, but you're a child of God. What does a good dad do? He doesn't leave his child. He doesn't hurt his child. Doesn't abuse his child. Welcomes his child. Sometimes we think God's kind of distant and angry, but he's always waiting for us to speak and to communicate. And sometimes when we pray, we need to be patient with ourselves because we think, oh, I just can't pray like that person. And actually, God's just waiting for you to use your language that you have, whether it's Shakespeare sophisticated or if it's like an average Joe, yeah, God, I need the help again. He's waiting for those moments of interaction with you, and he delights in those interactions. And when you get distracted, if you're like me, get distracted, you're praying and then your mind goes off on wander, then you have the opportunity of coming back and saying, God, thank you for being patient, I'm here again. And you have that delight, yes, let's go from here. And he wants you to communicate with him, he wants you to walk down the street and say, God, that's a good sunset today. God, did you know this? God, did you? And just chat to him. He wants to be a part of who you are. In the small things, as well as, God, I really need car parking space today. But he wants to know how your day is going, how you feel. And sometimes people go, I can't pray because I'm too angry. I can't pray because I'm just so upset. And actually, we just distance ourselves from God. God's not distancing himself from us. We distance ourselves from God because we feel a certain way, and so God must feel a certain way when that's not the case. And so if you're feeling frustrated, be patient with yourself, and that's the place of starting point, and saying, God, I feel really patient. I really feel really angry today. I'm really frustrated. I'm not getting the respect at work. That's not the case if you're thinking of this place. Yeah, I'm not getting this. This is happening. My family's doing this. My family's doing that. The answer to the prayers, I'm feeling really frustrated. And that's your starting point. But when you vocalized it, then you pause and you wait for the response. Allow him to speak back. And you still might have an angry response back. That's okay. He's big enough to take it. But it's then breathing. Take a breath. Take a deep breath. For those of you who've got long noses. Step back. Get a different perspective. Say, God, what do you want to speak into this situation? What do you want to speak into my life? I'm here. I want to learn because I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be upset all my life. I don't want to live in bitterness. I don't want my life to rob me of your joy. I want to know what it is to be full of happiness and gladness. I want to know what it feels to be rejoicing. I don't want the fear and the doubt to overtake me and the insecurities. I don't want the grief to overwhelm my soul. To the point where I just become numb to the people around me. but I want to love and to know what that is. And that first and foremost, it starts with that process of allowing God to work through our lives, to show us what that means, and then to work that out and to allow that to flow to the people around us. Because we all want, let's be honest, we all want patience for us, but for other people, the patience that God has for us is the same patience that he wants you to give to other people. Which is why when you read Matthew 7, it talks about judging. It talks about when you judge, the way you judge other people is the standard that you want God to judge you. So if you're being really, really cynical towards someone, if you're being really, really angry towards someone and saying, why are they doing that? I could be better, and jealousy and envy and all that stuff is creeping in and you're not being patient. You're saying, what that passage is saying in Matthew 7 is really, God, how I'm treating that person, even if it's in my mind, how I'm treating that person, I want you to treat me in the same way. Nothing changes your character quicker when you realise that. Because I don't want God to treat me in some ways, perhaps, if we're honest, growing up and thinking, why is that person doing that? Why is the person not doing that? I don't want God to be doing that to me. I want God to be gracious and kind and be forgiving, which I know he is. And so he says, the gifts that I give to you, the abilities that I input into you, be patient and give that to other people around you. Be a person of kind-hearted. Be nice to people. Don't have a reputation of being irritable or argumentative. Sometimes we argue about the most stupid and pettiest things that don't even matter. But because we want to be right, God is gracious and God is kind. And God is merciful. And in light of that, we should show that to the people around us. Because we know, because he holds our beginning and he holds our end, we know that his goodness and mercy and love, faithfulness, his steadfastness, his forgiveness, all the characteristics he possesses, are chasing after us every single moment of every single day of our life. And as Ephesians 1 says, every spiritual blessing in heaven has been given to you as well as me. So we're to be thankful and share that with the people around us. Shall we pray? The band will go, come up. God, in this moment, Holy Spirit, all of us are facing times of struggle, heartache, grief, pain. All of us need help. All of us need you. The patience that you have given us time and time and time again. The patience that you input into us and you forgive us for the things that we've done wrong. God, would you give us the strength? Would you transform our character to be more like you? Just as your son Jesus forgave us, would we forgive the people around us? God, would you remove our egos? God, would you remove our selfish pride? Would you remove all our selfishness? And God, would you be present? As you transform us, would you be merciful and kind? And God, for those who are hurting, for the heartache, the trauma, the pain. God, only you have the words that can transform a life and bring peace and rest to a soul. So God, we pray, would you speak to those who are hurting, to those who are in mourning? Would you breathe your breath of life? God, anything that the enemy has used to kill, to destroy, God, we pray, Lord, would that stop now? Would that be broken? Would that be removed in Jesus' name? And God, we pray, Lord, would you restore what the locusts have taken away? God, would you turn mourning into dancing? Would you turn anger into love? Would you turn tears of sorrow into tears of joy and delight? And God, we pray, in every situation, in every situation, in every circumstances, may we have an attitude of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it is well with my soul.